This is the Veterans Affairs Committee meeting. Today is Wednesday, January 12th, 2002.
Call to order if we could and get an establishment.
Steve McGurry. Steve McGurry.
I am present.
Martin Glendon.
Here.
Kate Brazinio.
Here.
Joe Burks.
Here.
Kelly Byron.
Present.
Bruce Hamilton.
Present.
Henry Johnson.
Present.
Rosario Carey. Rosario Carey.
Present. Sorry, I have several keyboards here. I was pressing the wrong space bar.
All right, thank you. Mark Levine. Mark Levine. James Lewis. James Lewis. Melvin Morgan.
Here.
Marlon Ruiz.
Present.
Carol Rendell is present. Michael St. Ors. Michael St. Ors. William Wojciechowski.
Here.
Luke Johnson.
Here.
Mr. Chairman, I do have, I see that you do have a quorum.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Sherry. So we'll move on to item number two, the ratification of the election of officers from the December 8th meeting. In reference to that, Delma, we took a vote on there. Is there something else we need to ratify in reference to that?
Yes, that
point
is
of order.
That is correct. We did the vote, but I failed to ask for a motion and a second. So if we could have a motion and a second for item number two, that's going to be the election of officers. We don't have to vote
point
because
point of order. Point of order.
Go right ahead, Henry.
We have not had the invocation or the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag for that, all meetings. Isn't this the beginning point?
Yeah, I'm sorry. It was on the schedule this way. It showed the ratification first. So are you okay with that, Dalma? We could go ahead and do the invocations first?
Yes, we can do
not
that.
Not a problem.
So go ahead, Henry. I apologize. Go right ahead, Henry, and do invocation, and we'll get to the elections after that. Go right ahead, sir.
Oh, Heavenly Father, we gather today to bring forth the elected individuals to watch over this august body of veterans and civilians on the Veterans Affairs Committee. Please give us your guiding hand. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Sorry to interrupt, Bruce. I noticed when Carol was doing attendance, there's James Lewis is here and he was trying to unmute his line. And then we have somebody else here and I can't quite read his name.
It might be me. I'm Patrick Powers Lake. I'm part of the Tucson VA.
Great.
And I'm part of the presentation tonight. Thank you.
Thanks, Patrick. So in reference to that, Delma, we'll get back to that ratification. So you're saying we need a motion in reference to the elections that we held in December?
Yes. A motion and a second for item two, please.
Do we need to reiterate the people that were elected and then what positions they were in?
We don't need to, but I can. I can pull up the old agenda.
Yeah, because basically what you're saying is we're just voting on the elections that we held in December. That would be the motion, correct?
That is correct. So what we're doing is I need a motion and a second for the election of officers.
I make a motion for the elected officers to be accepted by this body.
Carolyn Gale says, I second.
Okay, now we need a motion for three. And Bruce, that was you appointing Carol as secretary and Mr. Johnson as junior vice chair and chaplain.
Correct.
Well, not junior vice chair, but just the chaplain.
Yes, so if I could get a motion on that, please.
Sorry, we didn't vote on the first one.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, you don't have to vote on the first one. We already voted in December. I just need the motions.
Go ahead, so make the motion. She just doesn't have the motion in the notes. So make the motion.
I make a motion we accept the two appointees, Martin Belden.
I
Bush
need
Morgan,
a,
I second it.
Who seconded it?
Bush Morgan.
Okay, thank you. So I do see that Mark Levine has joined the meeting now. And Terry, you mentioned that you saw that Mr. Lewis also.
Yes, can you hear me now?
I can hear you now.
And thank you, Ms. Terry.
You can
right,
go ahead.
I can move on to the introductions of the guests. Is that okay, Donald?
Yes, yes, you can.
Okay, thank you very much. So we'll move on to the presentation. Director Joukowsky and Patrick Powers, if you could go ahead and put that up on the screen for them, Donald, if you would.
Do we have it?
What is it that you're wanting me to put on the screen?
I think she was going to make a presentation. Is that correct?
Yes, but I believe the. But I thought that I thought it was going to be. Excuse me. I thought it was going to be on item 8.
Oh, I apologize to you. I see what you're talking about. Yeah. So let's get back on track a little bit. So my guests this evening would be Jennifer Kukowski and Patrick Powers, and also is Craig here, and also Jesse Allen?
No, they weren't able to make it this evening.
Okay, so neither one. Okay, thank you very much. So we'll move on to item number 6. This is the approval of the legal action report for December the 8th. If anybody doesn't have any questions in reference to our legal actions that we had in December, if you haven't had time to look at that before the report, if I could get a motion to move that forward.
Henry Johnson, I make a motion that we accept.
Martin Belden, I'll second it.
We have to do a voice count, correct?
Yes, it has to be a roll call.
All right, so who's, you want Carol to do that?
I can do it or Carol can do it, whichever.
Go ahead, Carol, if you would, please.
Okay. Steve McGurry?
I vote yes.
Martin Belden?
Yes.
Brazenio?
Yes.
Burks?
Yes.
Byron?
Yes.
Hamilton?
Yes.
Henry Johnson?
Yes.
Rosario?
Yes.
Levine?
Yes.
Lewis?
Yes.
Morgan?
Yes.
Ruiz?
Yes.
Rundell says yes. St. Orr's? Wojciechowski?
Yes.
Excuse me. Luke Johnson?
No, he's not a voting member, Carol. The motion passes 14-0.
Gotcha. All right, thank you very much for that. And then we'll move on to item number 7, the treasurer's report. Martin, if you want to go ahead and make a report.
All right. It's a simple one this month. We started with $4,953.36. We had no expenses. We had no income. So we still have $4,953.36. Any questions?
Henry Johnson makes a motion to accept the Treasury report as read.
And Bill Osiahowski second.
Can I get a roll call, please, Carol?
Okay, am I muted now? Stephen Gary.
Yes.
Belden.
Yes.
Rosenio.
Accept, yes.
Burks.
Yes.
Byron.
Yes.
Hamilton.
Yes.
Henry Johnson.
Yes.
Carey. Rosario Carey.
Yes. Sorry, my space bar isn't working to unmute, so.
Okay. Levine.
Yes.
Lewis.
Yes.
Morgan.
Yes.
Ruiz.
Yes.
Rundell says yes. St. Ors. Wojciechowski.
Yes.
Okay, motion passes 14-0.
Thank you very much. So move on to item number 8, get into the meat here. Finally, we get to talk to Sava Hicks. So Jennifer, if you want to go ahead, Patrick, go right ahead for your presentation.
Well, good evening, and thank you so much for this opportunity to connect with all of you. Patrick, I believe you're going to be driving the slides, is that correct?
I'm more than happy to, yes. I can either share my screen, or if you're going to bring them up, that'd be fine too.
Delma, what's your preference?
If you would share your screen, please.
Sure.
Thank you.
Let me move it over to where I want it. Where'd it go?
Wait for it.
All right. Can you see my screen now, folks?
Yes.
All right. Okay.
Great. Thank you, Patrick. And for those who may not know me, I'm Jennifer Gutowski, and I'm the director here at the Southern Arizona VA. And I really thank you for giving me this opportunity this evening to talk with all of you. And some of you may have heard this before, because the VA is moving towards becoming and continuing to be a high reliable organization. And you may have seen or heard this kind of language in our tip of the week or in some of our communication. And you may be wondering, like, what does that even mean? Like, what is the VA talking about when they say they want to be a highly reliable organization? Well, I felt it was important that, it actually came up through our Veteran Family Advisory Council, that in chatting with them, I realized that it was important to pause and talk about why are we on this journey. And I wanted to share with you, personally for me, why I think this is really important for the Southern Arizona VA. So let me go to the next slide. Thanks, Patrick.
Maybe there we go.
Thank you. So our goal as part of becoming a highly reliable organization is a relentless pursuit of zero harm for our patients and staff. I personally believe in this, and I share this at my new employee orientation. The picture on the right is a picture of my dad when he was Navy Corpsman, served in Vietnam. And, you know, I tell every new employee that starts, you know, the reason why we're on this pursuit is 99.9% okay? If that small percentage means that my dad could be harmed? No way. And I know that you all feel the same way. And I share with my staff and my team that it's important, just because I'm the director doesn't mean I know everything. And I encourage people to speak up and say something and let us know what's working well and what's not working well. The other part of the story is if you can go back, I'm sorry, Patrick, I'm gonna talk a little bit about, that's okay. Yeah, talk about that cute lady with that big margarita glass. That's a picture of my mom. And what you may not know is this story. So my mom was diagnosed with brain cancer back in 2015. Unfortunately, she's no longer with us. But my journey with her is, you know, I was here in Arizona, and she, unfortunately, my dad and I'm an only child. I came to a point that we couldn't take care of her in the home anymore. And I was going back and forth from here to New Jersey. And at one point, we had to put her in a care facility. And I remember, you know, coming home and my mom complaining about the bed not being comfortable at the care facility, and hearing from the staff there that they had a hard time, you know, turning her. And ultimately, she ended up developing a pressure sore. And if any of you have ever experienced a pressure sore or have seen one, they're the most horrible things, I think. And it was very upsetting. And I think the most upsetting thing is that these things are preventable. And at that point in time, excuse me, I remember saying to myself, and this is before I became director, I said, if I ever become director, I'm going to be really sure that I'm out there listening to the voice of the veteran and the employees and do what I can to make the system better and work on preventing harm, because these things can be prevented if we're all working together. And I really feel passionate about this, and thank you for letting me share a little bit about my story and my why of why I think this pursuit for zero harm is the right direction for the VA and particularly for this VA. Patrick, if you can go to the next slide. So the healthcare industry overall, this is some big numbers when you think about what does 99.9% actually mean for the whole healthcare industry. This means it could be 20,000 wrong drug prescriptions every year, 500 incorrect surgical operations a month, 50 newborn babies dropped by a doctor every day. I mean, you get the point of the magnitude. That's certainly not what we expect from airline or any other industry. It shouldn't be what we accept from healthcare. Next slide. Every good, I think, coach, every good player has a good coach, and I'm very lucky that the VA is supporting me and my organization to have a professional coach on this journey. And here's my coach. Her name is Dr. Nancy DeZeller Walsh, and she meets with me and my team weekly on how we are doing, and you'll hear more about this from Patrick. But let me go to the next slide. So here's some more reasoning about why healthcare should embrace high reliability. And if we were 747 a day, you'd see how many people suffer that could be prevented from harm. And it's the third leading cause of death. So I'm going to turn things over to Patrick, but I want Patrick to take a moment to share about him, because he has a life of service to the VA and for serving veterans himself. So Patrick, why don't you start by telling a little bit about yourself before we share a little bit more about what this high reliable organization is.
Thanks, Ms. Kachowski. My name is Patrick Powers Lake. I am a combat veteran, and I've been with the VA since 1993. So, and she's right. I do have a passion serving our veterans. It's my reason for getting up every morning. I believe in the high reliable organization. I've been working with Ms. Gutowski when she was in her prior position with us, and then back as our director with Just Culture and our Stop the Line program. So we've been embracing this for, you know, over a decade, and now we have a formal, a nationally formally recognized program to help us grow this. We actually started our Stop the Line program and our Just Culture program well before this, so we had some groundwork laid. And the most important thing is people reporting to us. And as the patient safety manager, it's my job to get out there and help that cycle, build that psychological safety where people feel comfortable reporting what's going on, what they're seeing, what they're concerned about, and what they want to see changed. And we want them to, they can do with me in person. We have a great system called our event report system, our patient safety event report system. And they can even report anonymously. And so, and what's great with Ms. Gutowski, she doesn't ask me who tells me what's going on. She just wants to know what we can do to make it better. We're looking at those systems issues. You know, we want that no blame culture, but we also have to keep in line the just culture. If there is risky behavior, we have to address that too. But we're really looking at with our HR or for our high reliable organization, we start off with our three pillars. One is the leadership commitment. Clearly, our director embraces this. She feels strongly about our journey. And I can guarantee you, we probably have the best equipment in the city when it comes to lifting and moving patients. We have ceiling lifts everywhere. Several of you might have been to our facility. We have special padding for proning patients with COVID. We've worked hard on this. And I really appreciate the support and how the leadership in our organization really strives to walk the walk. And so that's what I'm really proud of. Our culture of safety is really how we, you know, build that trust between our veterans, our family members, and our staff, and our leadership, all to be doing the same thing for our veteran. We wake up and come to work every day for one purpose, and that's to serve our veterans. And I feel strongly about that, and I will embrace that until the day I retire. And then maybe after that, I can do what you guys do with these committees. Again, it really is about that culture that we embrace so we can really keep everything on par. And like Ms. Gutowski said, she's the director. She can't know every detail of everything that goes on every single day. So we really rely on the staff to bring those issues forward. And by doing that and embracing what the staff have to say and embracing their ideas for change, we can really focus on that continuous process improvement and build those teams so we can really have those effective tools and get the frontline staff involved so we can really make the difference for our veterans at the bedside. On the next slide, we go through our five principles, and we pick one of our principles, values, and pillars every month, and we really focus on that every month. And so like this month, and I meet with all of our nursing leadership every Wednesday, and we talk about this, but this month we're focusing our sensitivity operations, focus on the frontline staff in our care process. And we couldn't have a better thing for this month with all the COVID and staffing and our supply chain issues and really embracing everyone's ideas to make sure the work gets done at the right time for the right patient. When I meet with the nursing staff, we go over all the good catches and stop the lines for the week. And so I really bring forward what they've done well and how they can keep doing it and how it makes a difference. So we also have that preoccupation with failure, that everyone's a problem solver. My favorite is the reluctance to simplify, getting the root cause. That's what patient safety is all about. What really is the root cause of this system issue? And the thing is, right now, we're really focusing on resiliency. We know people are human. We know there's fatigue. How do we keep going? How do we build that resiliency? And how do we replenish each other? And our education department is great at this, and they have great programs. And Ms. Gutowski wants to make sure we recognize those folks that are doing a good job so we can keep that resiliency and replenish our staff to care for our veterans. And again, that expertise, that difference to expertise, we value our diversity, and the military is probably one of the most diverse organizations in the world. And we're serving the most diverse patient population. Our staff are incredibly diverse, and there's all kinds of expertise. And so that respect we have for each other and learning is really so important. Then we get to our values, and I love these, and this is my favorite thing. People hear me say this all the time. It's about the veteran. Bottom line, it's about the veteran. All this other minutia, it's about the veteran. You know, we've already talked about supporting that culture of safety. Ms. Gutowski and our leadership are really committed to that zero harm. It's really hard to get, but it's something to strive for, and we're not going to let up. We're going to be relentless. It's that constant improvement. This duty to speak up, this is so important. We want people to tell us what's going on, but for that to happen, people have to be comfortable to do so and feel safe to do so, to bring up those problems, and that's what the culture that we're building. Respect for each other, and this is respect for people. This is respect for our veterans, for the family members, our fellow colleagues and staff. And we can't do this without clear communication. So one thing we do that I really admire Ms. Gutowski for doing, we have monthly town halls. And she started this a while back. And anytime we have a root cause analysis where we're really looking at a systems issue that failed, where we need to improve it, we talk about it with the entire staff, hearing what the results were and what the staff ideas were and things like that. And so we have that clear communication where leadership speaks to all the staff, and the staff have a chance to talk to the leadership every month. So I really admire that. And then on the next slide, this is kind of our roadmap to get to that zero harm. And we've been on this road for a while. Even though we've passed the training, learning, process improvement, and you know that increased reporting, we get over 2,000 event reports a year. And these are people reporting every concern. It could be as minute as this door doesn't lock or unlock early enough for us to make sure we have a safe way for people to get out to Building 81 for an MRI, to something that's really serious that they have a big concern about that we need to stop and really look at. So we want anyone to report anything they have at any given time so we can improve those outcomes and get to zero harm. This is just a quick look. This is one of our matrix. We're, as you know, we love to monitor everything we do. So this is us back in 2018 on the left. The red is means we need lots of improvement, and that's where we're focusing. You can see under Ms. Gutowski, we've tightened that spiral, where you can see there's still some things we need to work on, but we're getting more and more tighter in that middle of the circle as we compete against all the other VAs. And so this is showing all of our improvement, all this blue and green. That's fantastic. That yellow, we're getting there, and then we keep moving that all forward. So there's a lot of information here, but I wanted to show you how we've embraced not only making the HRO how we do business, but how it improves the outcome to our veterans. And then here, we're just really talking about, you know, our veterans. That's what we're here for. We want the safest, highest quality of care. We want to get that trust. We want to empower employees, and we always want to improve. Are there any questions I can answer? Let me look over in the chat.
And I'll just add, Patrick, and to close, you know, this is why I think it's important to connect with all of you at the various stakeholder meetings, because hearing your voice, the voice of the veteran and the voices that you represent of family members, caregivers,
I got it.
That's important for me to hear the good, the bad, right, the ugly. I think that's why I really like to come to these personally, is to get a chance to connect with all of you and to hear about what we can do to make Savahix the best place to work and the best place that you choose to get your health care and feel good and trust that we will take good care of you. So I want to thank Patrick for joining me this evening, and I thank you all for your support of us at the Tucson VA. Questions for Patrick and I?
Questions, anyone?
I have, it's Carol Rundell from the DAVA. Hi. My question is, and I'm sure it has to do with the COVID protocols and whatever. A lot of complaints I've gotten are veterans have an issue with getting appointments.
Is it in terms of face-to-face appointments? Because I know right now, I'll just share with everyone, you know, we're in another surge situation, which hopefully you've received my written report. We're in another surge situation. And it's pretty dire this time in terms of the impact of the hospital operations. And we've had to make some very difficult decisions. Part of that is that we have paused on elective surgeries, meaning anything that's not urgent, emergent, or cancer, we are pausing right now based on clinical review to ensure that we're helping to support our inpatient operations, as we are unfortunately seeing a continued increase of COVID inpatients. We have paused our mental health rehabilitation residential treatment program admissions. We have paused our blind rehabilitation admissions, and we are converting, where possible, many of our ambulatory appointments to virtual. It does not go without a heavy heart for all of us here to make these decisions, and know that we certainly, as we get through this surge, we will do our very best to recover as quickly as we can and get back to being able to do more face-to-face. So if there's a particular area, I'm happy to address, but I know that us and the community right now, unfortunately, are seeing a surge in terms of COVID cases, and we're seeing a lot of staff, unfortunately, call out, and we're trying to do the best we can to get them safely back to work when appropriate. And also, we're hiring like crazy. So if you know anyone who would like a job with the VA, send them my resume. We are hiring every position you can think of. We are hiring. So just make a few comments. I hope that answers your concern, Carol.
Yes, it does. Thank you so much for your time.
I
have a question, Director, in reference to stand down, which is March 16th. Right now, you guys are not doing any type of outreach, any type of thing like that. Will there be, and then this is probably the same thing that happened in August of last year that we're going to run into. Okay. All right.
Should that change? I'll tell you. Should that change? And I saw, Carol, your question about the DAV and conference on January 22nd. We sent a virtual presentation. Should things change? I love being out there, and I can't wait to get back to these type of events. But right now, in order to keep the staff safest, since I can't, guarantee that everyone is abiding by all the restrictions and being masked, I just need to really keep the team safe at the forefront. So thank you for understanding.
No, not a problem. Anyone else, any questions?
Yes, this is Steve Aguirre with the American Legion. I have a question. And it's in reference to the ongoing surge of the Delta variant, the Omicron variant, everything else that deals with COVID. Are you having any supply chain problems with regards to the monoclonal antibodies or any of the new medications coming out?
We do, just like the community. Overall, these treatments are limited. And I assure you that our infectious disease professionals, we have two amazing physicians. They are working very diligently. They review every positive patient that comes through our doors to look at what treatment may be best and what our availability is. So there is limited availability, and we are experiencing that as well as the community. I wish I had a better answer for that, but that's the reality. So the team does have, criteria, and they have to make some tough decisions because there is only limited availability depending on the treatment.
Is that because it's a supply chain issue, or is it the federal government doesn't have enough of the medicines and antibodies for treating COVID?
I believe it's a supply chain issue because my colleagues in the private sector don't have any more access than we do. In fact, I think we might actually have better. I see Patrick saying more. I think we actually have more. Don't tell anyone. No, I'm just kidding. But I think that we actually are doing better than the community, but it is very limited across the board for this. So my comment would be, if you're able to be vaccinated and boosted, please do so. We have walk-in availability. You can come in anytime, and we're happy to do that for you, because it really makes a difference on hospitalization and death. We have seen that. My clinicians tell me that very clearly it has a significant impact. So I definitely encourage you that if you can do that, to go ahead and do that, to be vaccinated and boosted. And we have all of that available by walk-in, along with flu vaccine. So whatever you need in terms of that, we've got that for sure.
Ms. Kachowski, if I can add on, our walk-in clinic currently is in the auditorium, but it's going to be moving to the Saguaro Clinic at the end of the month. So it's still going to be available. We're just changing locations. In case any of the folks you work with have a question, we would still love to vaccinate and give everyone a booster and their flu shot, but we are going to be changing location, and that will change where people park too. That's why I wanted to bring that up.
Thanks, Patrick, and I'm sure we'll probably send it out by tip of a week, so be sure to, if you're not receiving those, let Luke Johnson know. Thank you.
This is Tubby Lewis,
Director. This is Tubby Lewis with the Arizona Department of Veteran Services. Hello, Patrick. I had a question that was posed to me last week regarding a veteran who has misplaced his vaccination card. What would he need to do to have that replaced?
Yeah, from what I understand, I don't think we can actually replace the card per se, but we certainly can provide the printout of the records that documents that he's had the vaccine. I think that's how that process goes. I can definitely seek some clarity. Luke, do you have that information? If not, let's make sure we clarify and send that out by email through Delma.
Yeah, I'll send it to the group. I think you just have to contact your primary care team, and they can set you up the card. If at their appointment, they can do that as well.
Thank you so much.
Anyone else? Any other questions for Sally Hicks? No? All right, Jennifer, thank you very much. Thank you, Patrick, for spending the evening with us.
Thank you all very much.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you very much. I'll move on to the item B, the Arizona Veterans Memorial Cemetery. If Tubby, have any information on that? Terry, any information on that?
I sat in on the cemetery foundation meeting last night, and so Nicole Contreras, the director, gave the report of there was a record number of interments in 2021 of 712. There's a total of 3,228 interred in the cemetery as of now. James, you'll speak about this. The foundation's goal is to help beautify the cemetery. And so they were trying to come up with a tree project for the cemetery. And when they brought it up to Arizona Department of Veteran Services that oversees us, the project was put on hold because they're getting ready to do a $3.3 million expansion program project that should be completed by August. So that's all I got on that.
Go ahead, Tubby.
Yes. Unfortunately, I don't have anything to report on that. Nicole and I didn't speak about that. But what she did want me to share was that the Missing in America project is going to be coming up in April. I believe she said it was the 23rd. And if you don't know what that is for the remains of veterans who have been unclaimed. And that's done in April and October. She also wanted me to share that they're starting to make plans for Memorial Day.
And Tubby, you invited her to sit on the committee, right?
Yes. But if Miss Terry is here, I'll put that out there to her again.
Gotcha. No problem. Anyone have any questions?
Just share any flyers for updates so we can send it out and disseminate it through the veteran community. And you know, Raytheon has Ray Vets. I'm sure they may want to participate or volunteer or provide some type of support for your events there.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, so we have nothing else for the Arizona Department of Veteran Services. Anything else?
Not regarding the cemetery. For veterans' benefits, compensation, or disabilities, pension benefits, we continue to assist veterans telephonically or virtually. Almost like what the director said, we've actually had a surge with people with the COVID. So some counselors have been out or what have you, but for the most part, last month in December, we submitted 691 claims. 256 came from the southern region. Our direct services for that time period was 11,700 and I believe it was 20. So we're still actively supporting the veteran community, their family members. And if you have any questions, I'm willing to entertain those.
So I have a quick, like the first question in reference to working remotely. You've done it both ways. You did it, you know, for many years face to face. How has it affected how you do business?
Me personally, or is it just the agency?
Well, you personally, because I mean, you're on the ground. You've seen clients every day. Now you're seeing remotely. How's that affect you?
Well, it doesn't impact me. I can work either way, but if I had a preference, I would rather see someone face-to-face to establish that rapport with them. You know, I think a whole lot is established when you meet a person. You know, a lot of times, especially if it's telephonically, you don't know that person. You just have a name.
Yeah. And
for me, myself, you know, being in the military for 24 years, a whole lot was established through that initial meeting. You know, and a person who you're dealing with who may be dealing with a disability, of mental health, that person is going to be totally different in person than over the phone.
Yeah.
So each counselor is going to have their own preference. Each veteran has their own. We're actually, as an agency, looking at establishing some itinerant sites. You know, here in the southern region, we have one down in Green Valley, the third Wednesday of each month. But due to the COVID, that's kind of been put on the back burner.
Gotcha.
But if you need an appointment down there in Green Valley, there will be a counselor down there.
Well, I can imagine, like myself, if I were going to go through the process again with all the records that I had to have, you know, the first time through the shoot, it would be hard for me to sit and talk with you remotely about things in my records. You'd have to have a copy of what I have, and you'd have to be going along with this as we're discussing it, I guess. I don't know how. I just find it really difficult to, you know, like you said, first of all, you're not able to build a personal rapport. That's really necessary sometimes to get the answers that you need to get that report. So you're at a disadvantage already. And then the fact that you're not having that interaction with their records. How do you review somebody's records? Like you find things and highlight it and call them back or?
No, sir. We have moved beyond those times. So what we would advise a client to do at the time of the appointment, they're assigned a counselor who is going to assist them, and the records are actually sent to us via email, or they're mailed to our central office up in Phoenix, where they're uploaded into a virtual mailbox. So the counselor has those records available. The appointment time may need to be pushed back somewhat, depending on what they're trying to do. a lot of the veterans who are getting out of the military now, they're provided with a copy of those records, and they send those to us electronically. And then the Veteran Benefit Council, of course, goes through and does what he or she is supposed to identify any potential disabilities that we feel the VA will recognize. At the end of the day, it's always the veteran's claim. He or she can file a claim for whatever their heart desires. Our job is to make sure that it's a valid claim and that it is put together to where the VA is going to receive it and adjudicate it as a fully developed claim if need be, versus the traditional period, which is prolonged.
Gotcha. Understand. Hey, thanks for what you do, man, and congratulations again on your new position there. So,
thank you, sir.
No problem. Anybody else have any questions before we move on? All right, so item number 9 is the military lounge, and from our earlier discussion, they are not here, but we certainly can have a little bit of a discussion in reference to that. I think it's important that we stress our importance, or I should say the importance of Operation Exodus to our committee, to the airport. So I would like to move forward and get a meeting with the airport authority folks, leadership, and have a meeting in reference to our bylaws and what our responsibilities are for Operation Exodus, well, how we see our role, and then trying to get back into those meetings prior to Operation Exodus so that we're actually in the planning stages, we know what they're doing, we know what's going to happen, and whether they use airport folks or whatever to distribute this stuff, I still think we need to get out in front of this again rather than COVID's kind of pushed us back. Changes at the airport has led to people not really knowing us anymore, like 2 or 3, you know, leadership positions have changed, and so we don't have that contact or that relationship. So I'd like to move forward and do a letter to them and ask them to have a meeting with us, even if it's just for a half an hour, 45 minutes. This shows us our concern, and just maybe they don't even really know the involvement that our that we're supposed to have by our bylaws from the city. So maybe that would, you know, at least let them know they have a strong partner that we've kind of moved. They've kind of moved us away a little bit, but we are a strong partner. So I'm not sure how we go about that, but I'd like to, if that's okay, I'm not sure if I need to vote on that at all, Dale, but you tell me if I can just write a letter to our 2 folks here and send it to them via email to ask to have a meeting with the airport leadership.
Yes, you can go ahead and do that on your own. Whether you have Carol send that, there, you don't have to have a vote on it.
Okay. So that's how we're going to move forward with that, if you folks don't mind. And if you have any comments, does anybody have any comments in reference to Operation Exodus? Because we weren't there, so anybody?
Bruce, not on Exodus or anything, but I was out there a week or two ago and went through the military lounge because I was waiting to pick up some people and drop them off. It looked like it was well stocked.
I gotcha. And that's the other concern, too, in reference to the military lounge. We have to have that conversation with them, too. So it's not just Operation Exodus. It's really just getting back, getting that person back on. You read our bylaws. I mean, a person from the airports should be sitting on our committee. I'm not sure how much teeth we have in making that happen, but that's, you know, supposed to, that's been since, what, the 60s, 1968 or something like that, I think, is when it all started. So we've been doing it that long, so I don't want to move away from that. So, any other comments, and we'll move on to the next item. No comments? All right. Item number 10, the only update I really have is we've decided to go back to a one-day event rather than a two-day event. We were going to do a veteran a job fair on that second day. We're going to move that to a separate location on a different date and do that with the DES and with Pima County, the one stop there that they have. So that'll be a separate event altogether. We're not sure what's going to happen with this COVID and with this new variant or anything. So we're trying to keep it just like we did in August, 40 vendors or 40 providers. Really, really cutting down on even our volunteer staff. The clothing will not be as big as it was before. So we're just trying to get it down as much as you can. There will be no employment people there, probably just DES people will be there, so no employers will be there at the event. So we're just going to keep it down there. Anybody have any questions? And I'll move on, because I know we're we're strapping for time here, so.
Bruce, can I be the POC for the VAC for that, since I work with DES with employment and everything, hiring recruiters and such? I mean, I don't mind being the, you know, the POC for you for that.
Well, what goes on is, like, you know, we've already started our committee meetings, and one of the two of those DES guys actually sit on the stand down committee. So they'll do all the providers, so I don't really have to, you know. Okay. Who was doing it before was TJ Rizzuti at the VA, and so he's moved on to a different position, and he's not able to do that this year. So they've always taken over that position. If you want to do providers, I can certainly speak with them.
Sure.
Have the providers for that. Yeah, that's not a problem. Yeah, it's, like I said, March 16th. It'd be great to have you. I'd appreciate it.
Thank you.
Anybody else? And we'll move on to 11. So, Terry, it's you four chaplains.
All right. So I sent out a lot of flyers recently, so I'm hoping that you guys saw the flyer for the 79th anniversary. It'll be February 6th at 1 p.m. Looking for not so many attendants, but looking for organizations to come place a wreath, keeping the ceremony simple. The band isn't available. Hopefully, Carol's working on the proclamation so that we can have that for the event. Not looking to have a guest speaker. We're just going to honor the four chaplains and keep it short and sweet. We will be live streaming it again on Funeraria del Angel South On's Facebook page. And I need Delma, and I don't know if you or Jaime can help me. I sent an email because the park is requesting a certificate of insurance again, and I sent it to everybody that I sent it to last year, but I haven't heard anything back yet.
And Terry, when is the event?
February 6th.
And you sent this email to the same people that helped you last year?
Yeah, from risk management with the City of Tucson risk management. They were able to turn it around pretty quick last year, so I'm not sure if I'm just being impatient.
Can you send me an email with the names that you sent that email to?
Sure.
Okay.
Will do.
Thank you.
Yep. Does anybody have any questions about it? If your organization wants to place a wreath, I really need to have people reach out and let me know so I know what to expect. We weren't expecting anyone to show up last year to place a wreath, and we had a couple of visitors surprise us. There is bleachers set up, so there is some seating for people to be able to kind of social distance. But we won't be setting up chairs or having the porta potty or doing refreshments or anything like that again.
Terry, can you send more information about maybe getting a wreath donated?
I'm sorry?
For anyone who may be interested in donating a wreath, do we just reach out to you, Terry?
Well, it's not really a donation. It's just you represent the organization placing a wreath. And then when the ceremony's over, they take the wreath back.
Okay.
It's a ceremony.
Coordinating that with you? I mean,
yes.
I'm sure you just don't.
Okay. Yeah, Terry, you can put the TVSV down.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
Those were some beautiful wreaths last year, too.
No, she's
yes,
she's
they were.
So when they start, she's ready.
Terry, this is Mark. Do we need a wreath?
I have wreaths people can borrow at my office because we do the same thing for Memorial Day. So if an organization wants to participate and they don't have a wreath, that's another reason to speak to me because I can provide them with a wreath.
So we cannot leave the wreaths then?
No, we don't leave anything at the park, no.
Okay, thanks.
Anything else for Terry? And we'll move on to the bylaws. Yum, I love the bylaws. So anyway, in reference to item number 12, in reference to review and direction of the committee's bylaw updates, I know that the last time we spoke, I'm not sure how many folks were on here from that last meeting, but there was just, I don't think there was anything we discussed about, quote, changing in the bylaws. There was things that might have been, that we might have needed clarification on. There was some discussion in there about my relationship or our relationship with the mayor's office in reference to conveying, you know, our concerns and amplifying her concerns back and forth. So we're not there with that. But I don't think there's anything that we discussed as far as changing the bylaws. So I'll open the floor if there's anybody that had any discussion on items that you thought that we needed to be changed, and then we can move on from there. So go right ahead, anyone?
I think that once you have your meeting with the military lounge, that we need to address how we refer to the lounge, because a couple years back we made some big changes to the bylaws to change what it was referred to as. And so I think we need to look back at what are we calling that space now at the airport, because there for a minute it was the lounge, but then the airport authority didn't like that term, and so we changed it to what it is in the bylaws now. But I think we missed a couple of spots, and so I think we just need to get clarification on that again.
Okay. And in reference to that, is that something that the judge advocate looks at? Is that,
yes.
That's the responsibilities, okay. So, all right. So in reference to item number 12, discussion again, I saw items in there that we needed maybe to polish or pop, but there's nothing there that I saw that would need to be changed, other than, like she says, in reference to the name of the lounge, just clarifying those small clerical type things. Is there any other major concerns that anybody saw? So I think Anna has her hand up. Well, somebody had it, I'm sorry. So no concerns? So Delma, in reference to that, that serve as our review of our bylaws, or where do we go from here?
Yes, Anna Marufo is going to be speaking to the committee.
Thank you so much, Delma, and I'm so sorry, Bruce. It looks like I was speaking and I was muted at the same time. But anyhow, she invited me to this meeting because she wanted me to go over the bylaws. In Section 5.1, there's a reference about, I guess there was a discussion at last month's meeting about amending the bylaws to change the wording in Section 5.14, and I'll read it to you if you don't have it out, but it says to confer with and advise the mayor and council concerning matters of interest to veterans and the member organizations, and to compile and receive and disseminate information and data relating thereto. I went over this with the city clerk and the chief deputy clerk, and they both suggested not to amend it, because in the past, Mayor Rothschild was very supportive of the VAC, and he would attend some of the meetings when he was invited. But apparently Mayor Romero has not attended any of the meetings. But what they wanted me to suggest is to invite Vice Mayor Lee. And I'm not sure if you know about her, but she is an Air Force veteran. She's very supportive of any veterans groups. In fact, I am involved in an ERG group that she just started. It's the employee resource group. It is great. She's so involved with our group, and she's very gung-ho when it comes to veterans. A veteran myself, I'm going to be able to help a lot of the city employees who are veterans with a lot of resources and so forth, and she's right behind us. She's very supportive, attends our meetings. She gets us the, when it comes to resources and all of that, she'll get it to us. So that is our suggestion for the VAC, is to extend that invitation to Vice Mayor Lee, and I am pretty sure that she will attend any meeting that you ask her to attend.
Gotcha. Yeah, and I don't think the intent was to change that. I think the intent was for us to try to live up to that. That's really what we were talking about.
Okay.
But thank you very much. So how do we go forward with that, with the invite to the Vice Mayor?
I can actually, if you want to send, I'm in constant contact with her when it comes to our ERG group. So let's see, I can probably send her, oh, I'm sorry, and my light just went off. But I can actually send her an email. And if you don't mind me sharing your contact information, I can have her send you an email.
Oh, yeah.
And then we can get the ball rolling from there.
Yeah, go right ahead. That's
okay. I'll do that.
Dodson here. Can't we make it official, like we're really concerned and really wanting her to join us by sending a letter, please? The old-fashioned way still adds a lot of weight.
Oh, I have no problem. I can turn that around fairly quickly until we make it happen soon. Later doesn't work. Sooner than better.
Yeah, that sounds good. And if you want to just draft that letter and just send it to Delma, will get it to me, and then I'll draft a nice email to her. And I'll attach the letter.
That sounds fine. Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you, Henry.
You're welcome.
All righty. So we'll move on. Anything else for 12? Anything else for the bylaws? We'll move on to 13 here. This should be fairly easy. I have my conversation. And Delma, I wanted to invite the people from there. How do I put them on the guest list for a future meeting?
For item 13, you're saying?
Correct. I'd like somebody to come in as a guest speaker.
Well, you can go ahead and contact them if they want to be a guest speaker, and then just provide me with their names.
Okay.
Are they going to be doing a presentation on this as well?
Yes. So I was going to move. So I can give numbers, and I spoke with him the other day in reference to the numbers that we have, but I'd rather have him come in and speak with us. So I'll probably put that on a future agenda that he'll be speaking to us from that HMIS system. So I'll go on from there. So my conversation with him the other day, this is Cliff Wade from the city of Tucson, homeless outreach. Looking on the HMIS system, he shows 70 what they would call chronic homeless veterans right now. And these are people that are just in the system. So there may be more than this that are in the outlying areas, but this is Pima County now. The Pima County, TPCS, what is it? Tucson Pima Coalition to End Homelessness or something like that. So, so 70 chronic right now, which again, the definition I think is homeless longer than 3 years, chronically homeless, maybe repetitively over that 3 year period, other things that may keep you on disabilities, that may keep you on the street. And then the numbers of just veterans in the HMIS system right now is right at 200. So in the past we've been higher, and in the past we've been lower. So it's just this fluctuating kind of wave that goes up and down with us. I can tell you the last time I spoke with Cliff, probably 90 days ago, we were at 52 on the chronic, and now we're up to 70 on the chronic. So it's a constant battle, so anyway, they're doing the good fight there, but I'll send you the name, Delma, and we'll get him on to our February meeting. That's okay. So anybody else? Any questions in reference to numbers or discussion in reference to those numbers? Okay. Item number 14 was consideration of the membership application for Unified Veterans Organization.
I'll speak to that. Let me just provide a little bit of quick background. Unified Arizona Veterans consists of about 62 organizations. There's about four dozen veteran service organizations that belong to that, plus several others. And they meet the first Saturday of the month, except in July and August. The dues are like $25 per year, and it's easy to join. All we have to do is complete an application. But the thing about joining that is that this group is represented on the Governor's Veterans Service Advisory Commission. And that advisory commission deals a lot with providing policy advice to the governor on a lot of veterans issues. And many of those issues are issues not in any one particular area, But being that Pima County and Maricopa County are the two largest counties, most of those policy issues lie within our counties. And I think that we should be a member of that group to stay abreast of what these issues are, and we can bring some of that as part of our mission, as noted in our bylaws, bring that forth to the city commission and the mayor, especially when the city can help in resolving whatever these issues that come up from time to time. Also, that group provides testimony to the legislature on a regular basis. And I think it would be to our advantage to become a member of that, so we can be on the forefront of getting information and being a little more proactive in able to help the veterans community. So that's one of the reasons why I'm proposing, you know, that we join, our Veterans Affairs Committee joins the Unified Arizona Veterans Group.
We
have in the past tried to have a representative attend on a regular basis. Are there any of our committee members now that are part of that group?
Well, I know the Vietnam Veterans is one of the charter organizations of Unified Arizona Veterans. Maybe even Melvin knows a little bit more about that than I do. I mean, I'm not part of that group, but.
MOWW is also an active member. I represent them up in Phoenix.
Yeah, and the Military Order of the Purple Heart is also one of the charter representatives. So we have people within our organization that their larger organization throughout the state is represented on that group. But I think it's to our advantage to be in the forefront of being able to be well informed on these issues and to make our voices heard. And it's right now, all the meetings that they're holding, they hold, like I said, they meet the first Saturday of the month, except in July and August. But all their meetings are like everything else that's going on. All their meetings are being held virtually. So, you know, it's not a matter of having to travel, you know, to Phoenix or whatever.
Gotcha.
William, a caveat as well with UAV, they have a very, very robust nexus to the Arizona Hall of Fame program as well.
Right. In fact, they manage the Arizona Hall of Fame. That's one of their jobs.
So in reference to that, Jen, you're the only stickler is the $25. Is that not correct? And then I'm not sure how we would put it in the bylaws, because you're saying something like that we would be telling everybody from now on, you will have a member from this organization will sit and represent the VAC with the Unified Veterans Association, something like that.
Yeah, and you know, being active doesn't necessarily mean that we have to go out and raise money or whatever and being part of that organization. Being active means that we're very well informed on what these issues are. We're making input on these issues, on how it affects our veterans here locally. And I think that all helps to build a case when these issues are brought before the legislature.
So this organization, it's an organization of veterans organizations. It's not individuals that join this. This is organizations that join this.
That's correct. Okay. And so it would be the Tucson Veterans Affairs Committee would be a member, not any one of us, even though some of our member organizations are already a part of it.
Gotcha. So Donna, how would you refer something like that, Donna, that's going to have a cost to it that we're going to be asking? I would assume that's an annual fee, right?
Yeah, it's only $25 a year is what it is. Yeah. Now, there's, I think there's four or five organizations that within there that the charter organizations, the original charter organizations, I think, are their dues are like $100 a year. But all of the other organizations that joined after the charter, they're $25. And it's a very simple application.
Yeah, so my concern would be we're all very tasked as it is. Who would volunteer from the committee to represent the VAC? And if we already have someone or several members that are part of the VAC that are also part of the UH committee, then why can't we just add it like an item on the agenda that we get a report from them like we do Arizona Department of Veteran Services?
Well, it's not that, it's the organization that's a member now. If the Vietnam Veterans Organization representative on our committee is also represented on the UAV, yeah, that would make it simple, you know. But I'm not sure how that part works. I assume that that Vietnam Veterans Organization has a person who represents their total organization, but they don't represent the Veterans Affairs Committee here.
The state of Arizona, DAVA, has a member on that I have appointed on that committee as commander, and I can get a report from her to bring to this committee, if you wish.
Yeah, but I think what Gwen's trying to say is that having somebody there just representing the VAC, I understand where Terry's coming from, but just representing the VAC shows your commitment and that you're there to know what's going on and you want to have some input in what's going on. I understand where you're coming from. I think Terry's trying to say, we already got somebody going up there to the meeting anyway. Can't they just represent us too? So I understand that side of it also, you know. We're lucky probably right now that we have a couple of members that are, quote, actively involved with the Veterans Association up in Phoenix to go up there. And maybe there'll be a time when we don't have that. But I guess we have to, as a committee, we have to decide if it's important enough for us to go as far as changing the bylaws. You know, we're bringing it up for discussion. I think we're certainly far from voting on whether we want to do it or not. I would have to say, you're saying they have the ear of the governor and they have policy and stuff like that. I see a lot of policy, like through legislative policy. I just don't know how much effect that we have as the VAC, you know, with our little set of bylaws, what earth-shattering information we would have for them up there. But like, I understand where you're coming from. It would be nice to have that for us. It would be nice to have Tucson represented in that capacity. Yeah.
The Military Officers Association is a member.
Well, that's the thing, is we already have somebody going up, you know, is just paying for the membership. It's like, but we're already pretty much a member, right? We're just making it official now. That's what we're asking. I support it.
Sorry, it's like $25 to have the VAC become a formal members, I guess, whoever you send.
Well, out of our budget, we got the money in the budget, you know, so.
Yeah.
Is that the kind of thing we can spend money on, Delma?
By becoming a formal member, that gives us a direct route into recommending things.
Well, it kind of raises another question.
Otherwise, we would be like a third party. We would have to take our recommendation and maybe ask the Vietnam Veterans Organization or the Military Order for Purple Heart to represent our view there. I think we should be able to represent our own view.
Right. And even if it is the same person that goes up, it might be with some other organization, but at least our voice will be heard as the VAC of the Veterans Advisory Committee. You know,
Bruce?
Go ahead.
This is Butch. The Vietnam organization that's on there is a state capital representative, which is Gene Crago. He's on that board up there. He does send me stuff down once in a while, but not a lot.
Gotcha.
Yeah, the women's factory sends stuff, but it's nice to, I think, if we already have someone. Now you're just.
This is Martin. Let me break in here before everybody. One, we'd have to clear it through the clerk to see if we could join another organization and spend the money to do that.
Right.
Because it's not in our bylaws, hasn't been approved by anybody.
No.
Okay?
So that's why they're bringing it up.
This discussion really should hold off until we find out from Delma and them whether or not we could even do this or think about it and what it would take to do it.
Bruce, Henry Johnson, I make a motion we table this until we have more research done by Delma.
Can I get a second on that?
I'll second it.
Good. We'll just go on, because you don't need a voice. We're not to vote on this, though.
You want me to say something?
Do we do like yays or nays, Delma? Because I think we should ask and see if, first of all, we could even spend the $25, become a member of a veterans work, you know, that type of thing. Then we'll go from there. If we can do that, then we'll have the discussion again, the value, what's the value of being on that board? Can we make a difference? Will we make a difference? That type of thing.
Bruce Heim is going to jump in right now.
Sure.
Where's your headphones?
They're muted. Oh.
Hi, guys. Can you hear me?
Yes. Sure.
Sorry, I was on the desk next to Dama, and I had to mute myself because it was echoing. So, yeah, Dama and I were just talking about that because I've been kind of listening in on the whole meeting. We'll definitely bring it up just to see. The big issue right now that I'm seeing is if you guys do send more than one committee member, it could establish a subcommittee, and we could be running into a quorum issue. So let me find out, first of all, if you guys are able to use the funds to pay for the membership, and then if that is allowed, then what we can do about designating a specific member from the VAC to represent.
Point of order?
Yes, sir.
There's still a motion on the floor requiring research to table this until we have it, and that's what he's telling us he still has to do.
So that's what he's doing. He's making a list of the stuff he needs to take.
Yeah, so we will discuss it, and if you want, we can add this for a future agenda item and continue where we left off next month. That way we'll have the information that you guys need, and then you guys as the committee can determine how you guys want to proceed.
That'd be great.
Perfect. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. I mean,
you're welcome.
It's just going to raise another question. You know, there's other veterans advisory committees, I'm assuming, right?
Absolutely.
Other cities, counties.
Point of order. The topic has been tabled, or a motion has to be voted on, yay or nay.
We're still in discussion.
Okay, still discuss. Go ahead. Go right ahead, Rose. Go ahead. We're not into there yet. We're still discussing. Go right ahead.
Okay. No. Well, I was just going to bring up that. You know, are we able to connect with the other advisory committees? You know, find out what they're discussing.
Yeah, of course.
You know, connect
I think maybe Ian William, and maybe you can make some calls yourself and find out, you know, how other organizations are doing that. But we'll table this and just move it on to the next agenda item for next month, if that's okay.
Bruce?
I know we're 20 minutes into it, and I think I lost Henry.
Bruce, we're going to go ahead and... We're going to go ahead and do a vote, since there was actually a motion made in a second to bring this back to next month's meeting.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be a roll call?
Yes, it'll have to be roll call. I apologize.
Okay.
And Zuri. Steve Aguri.
I say yes.
Belden.
Yes.
Risno.
Yes.
Burks.
Yes.
Byron.
Yes.
Hamilton.
Yes.
Johnson.
Yes.
Carey.
Yes.
Levine.
Yes.
Lewis.
Yes.
Morgan.
Yes.
Ruiz.
Yes.
Rundell says yes. St. Orr's is not in. Wojciechowski.
Yes.
Motion passes 14-0.
Thank you. All right, so let's move on to item number 15, which is the election of the judge advocate. That's the position that we need to fill up there next year. As we sit here and talk about our bylaws, I guess we see how important this position can be. There can be years when you sit on the committee and nobody talks about bylaws, and then all of a sudden, you know, we get crazy on it there, you know. So really, everyone, please consider in reference to taking that position. It's not what I consider a lot of work, but it may be looking at our bylaws a little bit more than we do, I should say, or maybe being more concerned about them than we are, I should say. But anyway, that's all I can really say is position is open. We've got 11 more months to go, so judge advocate. So if anybody likes to take that on as a position.
Excuse me, Bruce. Can we do a nomination for that, or is that just voluntary?
No, that's a nomination.
That's what I
you
thought.
Can do a nomination if you. I mean, I never do unless I know someone's going to say say yes. So yeah, I've not spoken to anybody, but if you have nomination, Carol, please do.
I nominate Bill Wojciechowski.
That was great.
I had to decline. I'm on two or three other boards plus some presidents of the Officers Association. And I can't take on anything more.
I have to say, I never saw that coming. I never saw that coming. So that was pretty good. Ready to go, Carol. That was pretty good, though. You know. So, anyway, anyone else before we move on? Hey, Carol, I'll work on it during the month, okay?
Bruce, are you going to want this to be back on next month's meeting or not until?
Yes, please.
You do?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And maybe by that time we could actually do a nomination. So let's move on. Item number 16. We're at 7:23 right now. Current events, good of the order. But do you want to go around real quick, Carol, with your roster and ask everybody if they have anything they want to give to us, and then we'll move on.
Steve McGurry.
Maybe they haven't unmuted because I don't think they're live.
Go ahead, Carol.
Belden.
Nope.
Brisno.
Nothing this month.
Mr. Burks?
No, nothing.
Jerry Byron?
I have quite a few things, and I think everybody's seen them in emails. I just will go over them real quick. January 16th, the Marine Corps Scholarship Foundation is doing a fundraiser at the Maverick King of Clubs. Fee is $75. You register at eventbrite.com, and hopefully someone will attend. The Tucson Detachment Marine Corps League is doing a blood drive February 12th. In addition to a yard sale, they're accepting donations of items to sell. But if you donate blood, I've already signed up to donate February 12th from 9 to 2 at the Tucson Detachment Marine Corps League Clubhouse. We have our four chaplain ceremony that we talked about earlier, February 6th at 1 o'clock at Keno Veteran Memorial Park. We also have Nighthawk 72's 22nd anniversary honoring the 19 Marines that were lost April 8th, 2000. We'll be holding the ceremony April 9th at 10 a.m. at Marana Regional Airport in the newly developed Nighthawk 72 Memorial Park. So again, that's an opportunity for organizations to come out and place a wreath and honor those fallen. And then there's a new group I hadn't heard of before, Operation 22. They're doing a inaugural PTSD awareness event, April 30th. It's gonna be at the Tucson Greyhound Park and other places around town. and I believe I sent the flyer out for that as well.
Okay, Bruce?
I have nothing. Ready to
go. Oh, Henry Johnson?
I have nothing.
Rosario? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Nothing for me.
Okay. Levine?
Nothing.
Lewis?
Leaders.
So I'll just come on. I do not have anything.
Morgan?
Nothing at this time.
Ruiz?
I went ahead and put in the chat box the upcoming event for this Friday. It's going to be Sahuarita High School. It's the fourth such event for us in the operating year, the first for Southern Arizona in the new calendar year. It kicks off at 10 a.m. Sahuarita High School is off of I-19. Just south of Tucson. If anybody happens to be in the area, please come out and support the Navy JROTC program for the Sahuarita Unified School District. Thank you.
Rundell has nothing. Bill Wojciechowski?
Yeah, just really quick. The MOA Foundation had a $1,700 grant for COVID-19 emergencies that went to Esperanza and Escalante. They still have about $1,200 of that left. And any veteran who is experiencing a financial difficulty as a result of COVID-19 and is in need of cash in a very short period of time, for example, if they have a car breakdown or they need rent money or something along that line, if they would go to Esperanza and see Pat Beauchamp, any veteran who was in need that was caused by COVID-19, like I said, maybe they're unemployed, they need rent money or whatever, that money can be dispensed to that veteran. All they have to do is show a proof of discharge, honorable discharge, and it's cash to take care of that particular emergency. So I just want to, if people in your organizations come across folks in need that are veterans, that's one way to help them on smaller type situations.
Sir, it's Tubby Lewis. Is there a threshold set for that? Do you know? Is there a threshold, a limit that they can get for that?
No, there is not. For example, if they need $300 for a car repair and they're unemployed or because of COVID-19, that would be considered a COVID-19 emergency. All they have to do is show proof that they are a veteran and show proof that they have that need, and it's just a simple cash transaction.
Okay. Thank you kindly, sir.
Pardon me?
Bruce?
Thank you. Yes, go ahead, Donald.
I just want to remind all the committee members to not use the chat function for the meetings.
Gotcha. Yeah. No
problem. Luke Johnson, are you still there?
Yes, I have nothing.
Okay. Bruce?
No problem. Thank you very much. Thanks for hanging in there, Luke. Appreciate it. We'll go on to a future event, future agenda items. Delma, if you're there, if you could scratch off that four chaplains, I think that'll be over before our next meeting, so you can take that off. Do make sure that you put down that item number 13, that Pima County, the HMIS, you could move that to a future item.
Yes.
And then just go ahead, anyone else, future agenda items?
So, Bruce, you don't want a post-event report for Four Chaplains?
Oh, you certainly could. I'm sorry. I apologize for that. You certainly can. So, go ahead. Leave it on. Sorry, leave it on there, Dalma.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyone else? Any future items we need to get into?
The tabled item.
Yeah, the tabled board item. I mean, the bylaw items, Dalma. Anything else? No? All right. Well, that's all I have. Anybody else have any comments before we go? We'll move into adjournment. Last chance.
Happy New Year, everybody.
That's Happy New Year.
Don't forget the judge advocate position.
It's coming.
Okay, Bruce. What I have is Judge Advocate, the Unified Arizona Veterans, HMIS, Four Chaplains, Bylaws, and
you're going to get that information about the Unified Arizona Veterans thing, right? The information that we need.
Yes.
I'm not sure if we need to put that back on there in case you have the information by the next meeting. That we can have the discussion because it's already on there.
Okay. Okay. How about the military lounge?
Yeah, same thing too. Yeah.
You still want that on?
By that time, I should have the letter to them by that time.
Okay.
And the stand down update, right?
Yes.
Yeah, leave the stand down update on there. Yeah.
Okay. Well, pretty much everything that's on there now.
We got a full plate. But okay. Sounds good. Everybody, good. Thanks for sticking around with us for an extra 33 minutes. Dalma, you can take them tomorrow off.
Thank you. I'm taking Friday as well.
Anyway, thank you very much. You can shut us off now, Dalma.
Thank you. Good night, everyone.
Have a good one.